Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my three-part interview with Mr. Productivity himself, Mark Straczewski. Also known as Mr. Productivity, he's a speaker, an expert, online trainer, working with executives and CEOs and helping them to reclaim that lost time that they lose to distractions, basically. And one of the biggest distractions is social media. Yes, I know. It's almost a curse word, isn't it? But we just fall down into that abyss, and it's so hard to climb out of. And Mark is going to be giving us some tips on how we can do that successfully and still have a social media presence. Now, I started off by asking him about those distractions on social media, and he was giving us some tips. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because we don't have time to reclaim it all and replay it all and go back and cover the things we're already talking about. We do a little bit, but that's just for editing purposes. But let's jump right back into his answer about social media.
Where, okay, it's time I get off social media. And I think people go, oh, just one more post, just one more post. 3 hours later, just one more post. And it's like, No, you need to get off the social media.
Yeah, completely. Just like I said, go read a book. So you're breaking, you're stopping. Well, now I'm done with Facebook. Let me go over to Instagram.
Yeah. You know, no, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
Actually, get up and leave the computer for a little bit.
You know? Yes. Amen. I promise you, Mark Zuckerberg will not come to your house and saying, hey, how come you only spent 30 minutes on my platform today? It's not going to happen. Okay. So just get away from the time sucking black hole known as social media. I mean, we need social media. Social media is a blessing and a curse. It allows us to keep, get your message across, get my message across. But there's a lot of people that spend hours and hours and hours on social media, and they've got nothing to show for it but lost time.
Now, what about email, though? I mean, if you're running a business or whatever, I get upwards of 300 or 400 emails a day, and I actually only read probably 5 of them. I mean, as the rest is just spam and junk mail. And I mean, I'm clearing my box out every 30, 40 minutes, and it'll have like 30 emails in there. I'm just, okay, anything important? Nope, done, gone. But email is almost as bad as Facebook and social media.
It is. And what happens is when we first got our first email address, I remember my first email address, I was at the Rochester Institute of Technology, and it was DOS-based, and I signed up for every email newsletter because I just wanted email. Now we've come full circle, like, oh my gosh, stop sending me email. Right. Well, we're our own problem. We're signing up for these emails. So let me give you some tips on email. First of all, don't get an email address that's your first name dot last name at gmail at yahoo at hotmail.com because all the spammers know this. My email address, as you know, I don't give it out public, is very unique. Yep. So you can't go and send me mark at markstraczewski.com. It'll bounce. You can't send info at, sales at, president at, all that stuff. So I have a very unique email address, and I think that's the first thing you need to do. Number two, if you have a email box that's totally out of control, you didn't get out of control overnight, it's going to take you a while. Now, there's very, very strict laws in Canada, in the United States, and Europe that have to allow you to have, from legitimate email subscribers, a unsubscribe link. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is the next time you get that email from Walmart, you unsubscribe. Now, that's only going to take care of Walmart, but now Walmart's gone. Okay, now you get Kohl's, you get rid of Kohl's. The problem is I don't get a lot of emails that are non-client related, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I intentionally don't sign up for email newsletters. And I tell people, because some people say, well, I just archive all. That doesn't solve the problem. Or I just delete all. That doesn't solve the problem. And if you get, as you know, if you get a lot of email, then you may miss important emails.
Right.
And so what we need to do, and getting another email address, if you haven't addressed the problem, doesn't solve the problem. What you need to do is, if you have this, you know, Mount Everest of email problem, well, you just, well, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. You just take the next email, or maybe you want, instead of spending 30 minutes on social media, maybe you spend 30 minutes cleaning up your inbox. And I don't mean like deleting it. I mean like unsubscribe, flag that as spam, set the rule. And as you do this, yeah, it may take you 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. But when you're done with it, you're only going to get email that you want to get. So I encourage people, don't give up hope. You can do this. It's going to take you time. Give yourself, again, grace that you can control this.
A lot of time, or I've heard, let me ask this, put it this way. I've heard that on some of those email things, when you hit unsubscribe, they're like, ah, now we got a live one. We know it's a real email. You know,
That is true. If they're sending from a legitimate company, and how you can do that, if it's coming from an email like MailChimp, Constant Contact, ConvertKit, MailerLite, those companies are legit. They abide by all the laws. What you have to do is when you get the email, you have to look and say, okay, use your common sense. Does this look like it's a legitimate sender? In other words, is it any misspelled words in there? Do they have a signature in there? If it's legitimate, then you probably are safe to hit unsubscribe. But the problem I'm having, because I have a big following on LinkedIn, the problem is people think just because you're connected on LinkedIn, you can add them to your list. And because I'm a productivity guy, when you do this, I actually take the time after I unsubscribe to reply to you and said, look, not only are you breaking federal law because you are either in Canada, the United States, or Europe, but you're also violating LinkedIn's terms of services, which says you cannot email people without their permission. And so if you email me like that, Bob, I'm never going to do business with you ever because you've already disrespected me. You should have sent me a LinkedIn DM, say, hey, listen, I really appreciate the connection. Can I send you some more information? Can I add you to my email list? I don't ever add people to my email list. I do have an email list. It's called the 7-Day Productivity Challenge. But you know what? I will never add people. You go and you add yourself. Here's why. Because now it captures your IP address. That way, if you report me as spam later, I can say, no, they signed up themselves. So I never add people to my list ever. And I think a lot of people get themselves in trouble for doing that. But I think people need to start taking control of their email. You need to, first of all, disable notifications, both for email and social media. I know this is shocking to people, but other than your mom, we're not that important. The leader of our country is not going to call us, not going to email us. So just turn off those notifications. Because the less notifications you have on, the less time you're distracted.
Amen. And it seems like when it comes to these emails, you know, when you know you're sitting at the doctor's office, you got that 35, 40 minute wait. People are on their phone and they open up the email app. They start going through it and they're reading their emails and maybe answering emails. And I mean, it does help the time go by. Because, you know, that's 45 minutes that you're clearing out your email box. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sitting here at the desk. I have to turn off my emails to do these interviews. I mean, I just disconnect, you know, quit the email app. And I know when I click it on, it was at zero when we started. Okay, because just before we started, I had zeroed it out. Matter of fact, I'm just for purposes of this recording, we've been talking now for about 22, 23 minutes. I already have 4, 6, 8. I got 12, 18 emails in the past 22 minutes, right? Wow. And not one of them, I'm just glancing at them, not one of them is worth me reading.
Is your email address on your website or something?
The major email that has been mine for probably 10 or 15 years is the one that gathers the most. Okay. And no, the websites have their own unique one. Those are fairly calm, put like that.
Okay.
But you know, all the banks and doctor's offices, you know, they get the main one, that because that's where mainly all the junk mail goes. So yeah. You
know. Well, I mean, there is hope for you. It's just that you've got to make some hard decisions. If you use Gmail or if you use G Suite, which is the professional Gmail, you can set up rules. And but I encourage people to take the time, you know, because people sign up for email newsletters to get a white paper or a special report, and they never read. First of all, they download a report, they never read it. Studies have shown people, there's a high likelihood of people download it, but no one reads it. And so, and then they never read the email. So the emails come every day and they're like, oh, I'm not reading this. Well, start unsubscribing.
Right.
It is start from the next email you get, and then the next one, and the next one. And eventually you will get it under control. And one day you'll go, wow, I only got four emails. You need to start taking steps in the right direction. If something's spam that you know is spam in Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo, label as spam. So the next time you get an email from that person, it immediately goes to your spam folder.
Yeah.
So you can control your email. If you commit to it, you can do it.
Mark, how can someone, to use your phrase, tame the beast, so to speak, of social media? I mean, social media, it's required to, in this society today, especially in a business environment. I mean, you know, business trends and all that is all centered around, you know, the marketing messages. It's all centered around social media. And how can someone limit their exposure to social media, but yet use social media to promote their business and become more productive?
Well, like I alluded to earlier, compartmentalization, you know, you need to set a timer. You need to be the adult and say, these are my parameters. But the other thing is, do you have to be on social media? I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. If you are just want to keep in touch with your family, maybe you just be on Facebook. I mean, do you have to be on every profile? If you're trying to grow your brand, yes. But you need to evaluate, what do you need to do on social media? What is your plan? I mean, I remember once I heard Tony Robbins say, you need to have a plan for everything. Okay. So if you want to go watch the Super Bowl at your friend's house, okay, well, that's fine. You have a plan to go to your friend's house to watch the Super Bowl. Okay. But a lot of people are walking around and they have no plan. They're just going around and, well, let me try this. Let me try this. Well, I'll do here. And they have no plan. And remember, I was talking to a lady the other day out of Australia, and she has no plan. And she wonders why she can't be productive. I said, well, you have no direction, no vision. You know, the Bible says people without a vision perish. You know,
it's right.
You know, so you got to have a plan. So what is your purpose for being on social media? I mean, it's going to be different for every single person listening to the show. Yeah. You need to step back and go, well, I thought I had to be on social media. Well, there's no law that you have to be on social media. Okay. There are people that delete Facebook, delete Instagram. So you don't have to be on there. You need to make the choice for you if it's right for you. I know a lot of people are on social media and they do very well. So I'm 54 years young, Bob, and they didn't have social media when I was growing up. I turned out okay, I think. So you don't need to be on social media. You know, yeah, if you want to grow your brand, you probably do. But I think everyone needs to think about, wow, why am I on social media? Because it's a very weird question when you think about it. But I think everyone needs to give themselves the gift to think about that question.
Amen. Amen. Would it be worth the time and effort to set up something like Hootsuite or something similar like that to you know, you let's say set aside 2 hours on a weekend and you set up all of next week's, you know, posting stuff. Would that be worth doing something like that? Or maybe hire a virtual assistant or somebody like that to handle that aspect of your marketing business?
Well, yes to both. But what I do, I was introduced from, actually I was on another show not too long ago, to a company called Social Bee. It's social like bee, like the bumblebee. And what they do is you go there and you connect your Twitter and your Facebook and your LinkedIn and you create all this content. And what's really cool is it goes and posts for you. And when we get to the end of the queue, it goes back to the beginning. So you don't have to remember, oh, I'm getting out of, you know, because with Buffer, you have to go back and add stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, with Hootsuite, you have to go back and add stuff. With people like SocialBee, Meet Edgar, Social Oomph, all these companies, you set up a queue and it just keeps posting for you over and over and over again. And the more you put in there, the less it gets repeated. So I love it. I pay them $20 a month and I love them so much. I'm an affiliate for them because I'm like, this is a great tool because I can't sit there and be posting on social media all day. So I'll be at a meeting and someone will say, wait a minute, you posted something, you're up on stage. I said, yeah, I have a system to do this. Now, you can get a virtual assistant, but I think the mistake people make with virtual assistants is they make a virtual assistant and they don't know why they need a virtual assistant. We already talked about the word why a couple times in the show. They like, well, everyone's got a a VA? We're supposed to have a VA. Again, it's not a law, but do you need a virtual assistant? First of all, if you don't have a lot of money, don't go get a virtual assistant. Do it yourself. Work a couple extra hours on a weekend. Do it yourself. Yep. So, but yeah, there are plenty of tools out there that are automated for you. Now, you have to have the content, obviously. Like on my social media, there's like 156 tweets under my Twitter queue. So mm-hmm. I post like 9 times a day. So divide 156 by 9. That's a lot of content over several days where I don't have to repeat it. And then when I come up with some ideas, I just add them to the queue and it just keeps tweeting and tweeting and tweeting for me, which is really cool. So yeah, that is certain way you can do that. But the engagement, you actually have to go to LinkedIn, my favorite profile. I encourage everyone on LinkedIn to, you know, on this profile, on this show, I'm sorry, to connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, on LinkedIn, I go in there a couple times a day. Now, I don't read email when I'm have some downtime if I'm at the doctor's office. I'm on LinkedIn engaging with people. Because if you post and people comment and you don't reply, they're like, is anybody listening? So that really annoys me. So when people take the time to comment on one of my posts, I make sure I reply to that because I'm not a Gary Vaynerchuk or a Tony Robbins. I don't get millions and millions of comments. And so I believe it's my duty to engage with people. Now, if I ever reach a point where I'm getting 5,000 comments, I can't do it. But right now, I don't get that many comments. I may get 10, 15 comments. I always reply. I always reply to DMs. If someone sends me a legitimate DM, like someone listens to the show, sends me a DM, and it's not like to join their multi-level marketing or sell me something, if they send me a genuine message, I always reply to those. That's how I'm building my brand because most people just ignore them. I love everybody I get to talk to. I mean, I really cherish this time that we're having on our show today.
Amen. I appreciate you coming on. That's for sure. So LinkedIn, I think, and the way you're talking, I believe you do as well, LinkedIn is like a better value for business branding than any other social media?
100%. I mean, because LinkedIn is not Facebook. And although some people don't understand that, they're putting vacation pictures. I'm like, that's not what LinkedIn does. Right. LinkedIn is all about value. And I'm one of these really weird people. I'll just go off on a little tangent here. I don't like ads. I hate ads. Right. I hate advertising. And people go, well, how are you supposed to promote your product? By giving value. Giving massive value. What I do is like I have the 7-day productivity challenge. Okay. I give away, you know, you can apply for a 45-minute coaching session with me. You know, I give massive value through my podcast, through shows like yours. And then people go, wow, if he gives this stuff for free, man, I wonder how great the coaching would be. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I do. I believe that people need to stop advertising as a whole. And they need to start giving value because when you give value, what you're doing is you're proving your wealth before you ask for money. It's kind of like if you met a member of the opposite sex the first night, you wouldn't say, hey, I love you. Would you marry me? That's weird. But yet advertisers are doing it all the time. Most advertisers, or certain some advertisers know how to do the game right. You have to get to know the people, build the relationship. So I spend a lot of time building relationships. If I'm sitting there, and don't judge me here, Bob. But if I'm sitting there before church, you know, and I'm prepared for church, it's like 20 minutes before the service starts, I'll open up LinkedIn and I'll just reply to people. And people go, it's Saturday night. I'm like, yeah, but you know, you took the time to reply to my post. I wanted to give you some kudos. Now I don't do it during church. So don't think that when the pastor's up there preaching, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not doing that. But anytime I spare time, I will jump on LinkedIn, maybe 3 minutes here, 5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. But it's always about adding value. It's never consuming. Well, not never. Most times it's not consuming. It's about adding value.
Amen. Now, you also talk about social accountability. What is that and how does that work?
You saw my recent podcast. Thank you for checking it out. The problem is a lot of people say, you know, someday I'm going to dot, dot, dot. Man, I want to dot, dot, dot. But when you actually say it to the world, that's social accountability. And what Bob's referring to is I shared some of my goals on a recent episode of my podcast. I think it's episode 445. And I told people one of the goals I want to be is make $1 million a month. Now, that's a far reaching goal for me. I know some people listening to this show are going, oh, I make that in a day. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. I'm not there yet. And another one of my goals, I want to own a private plane. Okay, now, not to say, because I have a private plane, I listened to one of the guys I follow. He says, nobody who has a private plane can financially justify it. You don't get it for that. You get it for the convenience. I think it'd be really cool to, like, I have an aunt who served this country, and she has trouble getting around and flying is a hassle for her. It'd be really cool to say, hey, why don't you come down for a week? I'll send my private plane up there, pick you up. And guess what? Your private plane doesn't leave without you. There's no security, because what do you do? Blow yourself up? It's kind of weird. So, I mean, that's one of my really, really, really huge goals, to own my own private plane. But I also want to have 1 million followers on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be debt free. So, and I want to have a New York Times bestselling book, which I'm going to start in 2020. So, you know, I think people need to tell the world their big goals, because there's something about telling the world. And then someone says, you know, that episode came out, someone said, you know, you inspired me because my goals were too small. And now I'm telling the world. You start telling the world, now it's not, you're not just keeping it in your head or just to your spouse or your kids and your friends. Now you're telling the world. And now, yeah, most people are not going to care. But some people, if you inspire one person to think bigger, to dream bigger, and so social accountability, it doesn't have to be for goals. It could be for anything. When you tell the world, like a lot of people, you know, when they come out and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Well, you tell the world. You're not supposed to keep that under, you know, under a lampshade, under a bushel, as the Bible says. You're supposed to let the world know. And tell the world. Don't just tell your friends. Tell the world. Are you happy? Tell the world. I mean, I think that's what the whole social accountability is all about.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know in my day, you know, I mean, I'm in contact with people through the computer most of the day, some phone calls, but mostly online. What are some of the advantages of that as compared to having to go to a face-to-face meeting? I mean, face-to-face is, you know, obviously the best because you got that personal interaction, but not only that, but let's look at the flip side. What are some of the disadvantages and things to watch out for online as well?
Well, obviously when you go face to face, you're meeting the person, you can see their facial expressions. You can do that for on video to be sure. But the problem is, like, I only do coaching online because, first of all, I'm in Houston, you're in Baltimore. I'm not going to drive up there or fly up there for a 30-minute coaching session. That'd be insane.
Oh, man, I was going to ask you about that too.
Well, if you want to pay for my airfare there and back and then pay for the lost time, I'd be happy to do that. But the thing is, online is so convenient. I mean, I could literally do an interview with you and then take a half hour break and then start doing coaching calls. If I had to go to you physically, it'd be really odd to coach someone while I'm driving, you know, and people are, you know, get roadblocks or, you know, weather and stuff like that. So, but you have to be careful when you're online, because like right now, the only thing on my computer is Zoom, which we're doing the recording over. Okay. Right. I don't have my email up. I don't have Facebook and Instagram up. It's just you. And the problem is with, you know, our technology, it's real easy. You're trying to hold a conversation and you ask a question and the person's going, and you know that they're looking at their phone, cause you're like, yeah, could you repeat the question? Like, dude, don't. Amen. So I never disrespect people like that.
Yeah.
I never disrespect people. When someone honors me by having them on their show, by inviting me on their show, I'm going to give them 100% of my attention. And the problem is when you're online coaching, doing a podcast, whatever, you got all these other buttons. Oh, I could click this one and I could still look. Bob doesn't see me right now. It's audio only. So he won't know if I'm surfing the internet, but the problem is I'm not completely paying attention. And you say something. So what do you think about Facebook? I'm like, well, you know, when you're on Snapchat, you're like, what? Is he not listening to me? So, you know, that's the downfall of doing things online. But again, everything has a blessing and a curse, and we get to choose what it is.
Amen. Now, one thing I was reading, I was surprised that you said, as a productivity expert,
oh, I know what you're going to go with this.
Okay to watch TV and play video games. I mean, is that right? How can that improve productivity?
I get asked this question so often, and people are saying, wait, he's Mr. Productivity, and he said it's okay to watch TV and play video games? Yes, but if
you're right back, I'm going to go turn on TV.
Now, there's an asterisk here, okay? I can't put it on the audio, but there's an asterisk. If you earn the right to watch TV, in other words, if you put in a good day's work, you set your objectives in the morning, which I think you should. I think you should put your objectives in the morning. I think you should, you know, figure out what your big three for the day is. You plan your day and you have a really good day, then watch TV at night. Not live. My wife and I don't have a cable or satellite, so we have TiVo. We record our shows over the air because we live in Houston. We live near all the antennas. So we got all the good shows for free, by the way. and or play your, you know, video games, whatever, if you earned the right. Now, some people say, well, you could be doing something else. You could be working. You could be building your brand. You could be creating content. That's true. But I think that if God wanted us to work every waking moment, there would be no pretty flowers and trees. There would just be everything. It would be a concrete jungle on this planet. We were meant to enjoy life. So I don't have a problem watching TV. I have a problem with you watching 6-7 hours of TV a night. Now, yeah. I love football. Okay, I love football, and I use a planner which gives me morning prompts like what's your day gonna be like, and evening prompts like what happened today. And every time I watch football at the end of the night, it says what didn't you do well today. I'm like, I watch football. I like watching football, and I know I shouldn't watch football because it's 3 hours, but I found a hack. Here's the hack for watching sports. This is gonna really sound sacrilegious to a lot of people, but don't watch it live. Here's what you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You start recording the show, the game, and then 90 minutes in it, you stay off of social media, okay? And then you start watching it. Guess what? You can go through fast forward through timeouts, through commercials, through halftime. And so now you're not watching a game in 3 hours. Now you're watching it like an hour and 10 minutes.
I mean, Mark, I know that, you know, some people they're at a doctor's office listening or something. They don't have time to listen to the entire interview all the way through. But I want to give you an opportunity to give them your contact information. So if they had a question for you, want to check up, you know, see what else, you know, what services you offer and things like that, they have a chance to do so. Can you provide that contact information for them?
The easiest way for anybody to get a hold of me is go to my website, MrProductivity.com. Mr. is all spelled out. You do get redirected to MarkStuchowski.com, but there you can find out everything you want to know about me, including my 7-day productivity challenge. So when you type in MrProductivity.com, you go to my website. The first thing you'll see is it'll say join the 7-day productivity challenge. It's free. 2 minutes a day over 7 days, I'll give you tips on how to be more productive. You can also find out direct links to my podcast there. You can find out about my coaching and where I am on social media. Everything you need to know is at MrProductivity.com.
Amen. And Mr. is spelled out. It's not the abbreviation, correct?
Yes. I have to start saying that because some people are going to the non-abbreviated version and they're like, well, this is not the guy I heard on the radio. No. So MR Productivity wasn't available. So I always say in my podcast, Mr. Productivity, Mr. all spelled out.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I found that out. Amen. Well, hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with Mark Struchesky, Mr. Productivity. He's been giving us some tips that will bring time. One of the most valuable commodities you have is time. And he's helping us to get tips and techniques and procedures for getting that back and using it to our advantage. I loved the example he gave right at the end about watching football or any sports for that matter on television. And I do that with television programs. I record them and then I go back and I can skip through an entire half hour program in like 22 minutes. I can watch a 1 hour. My wife and I watch 2 hour programs. I won't tell you which ones because I don't want to promote them or anything like that, but we'll watch programs that are 2 hours long in about an hour and 15 minutes. So we save that much time. And sports programs, I just cannot make myself sit three and a half hours to watch a sports program. I'll record it, or if I don't record it, I'll come in maybe the last half of the fourth quarter on football, something like that. Anyway, that has been part two of our 3-part interview with Mark Struchesky. You need to come back tomorrow and catch up because we are going to have a great time tomorrow. I edited the program. I know what we're going to do. So you need to come back tomorrow and catch the end when we conclude our interview with Mark Struchesky. Till then, as Pastor Bob remind you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting.
Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.